So this morning, I want to kind of go start off where we ended up last week. Last week we were speaking about how do we hear and how we should listen. And we said a couple of things, like what is good steps for us to listen well. Who can remember the first thing? Yes? Pray. We should pray, okay? We should pray. So that's the first thing, how we learn to listen well is we pray. Because we ask, we have not because we ask not. And so we want to come as a first step and say, Lord, we want to hear your word, so we are going to pray. And it's not praying here on a Sunday morning, it's praying at your home already. You should have been praying already, hey? If you were listening, we would know, okay? Which we pray that God would come and prepare our hearts. We pray for the word, and we pray that God would come and prepare our hearts. We pray for those who are preaching. You want to know that God has been working in me or whoever comes preaching, because the aim is not words that sound good. The aim is, God, I want your word that as it comes, that it would penetrate my heart and that it would help me and bring revelation to me that I can change my life. Amen? Do you guys agree with me? Okay, so I want to encourage you this morning. Let's say yes, okay? When you say you want to agree, yes. Amen. Whatever you want to do it, okay? But do something. No, don't do nothing, okay? If you do nothing, it's like you're not listening, okay? There we go. And then we stay in prayer. We stay in prayer that as we're listening, because the thing that we're wanting to hear this morning is not Rian's voice or Enrico's voice, whoever brings a word. No, we want to hear the voice of God. We're listening out for the voice of God. And in that, that is a place of where we go, like, we want to be in prayer this morning. So, I want to ask you a question. Did you know that if the life of the person that's sitting next to you, it's touched by God and it changes, did you know that it would benefit your life greatly? Did you know that? Yes. Okay, so it's that thing of like, cool, God, change them. Don't change me, hey? But did you know this? That if you get touched by God and your life changes, that you also get benefited greatly. But even better than just you benefiting, the person next to you benefits from your life that has changed. You hear the difference there between those two? And so, what I would love us to do is whoever you're sitting next to, can you put your hand on them? In an appropriate place, please. Okay. Okay, and so what I would like us to do is we're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray that God would come through His Word and that He would touch our hearts. We don't just want the Word come and hit like just as if it's hitting a wall. No, God, we want to open up our hearts. And so can we take 2 minutes and just pray for one another that God would come and He would illuminate and change our hearts and change our lives. Okay, let's pray. Yes, Lord. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you, first of all, for your word, God, that brings life. We want to thank you, Lord, that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, God. It brings a separation between the way we think and the way you think, God. And it brings truth to us, God. It brings grace to us. It brings mercy to us this morning. And so we want to thank you this morning for your word, God. And we pray that as your word comes, God, we pray that it will find fruitful soil in our hearts. We're not looking to the voice of man, but we're looking for your voice, God, to come and speak the truth that is everlasting into eternity, God. And so I pray, Lord, would you come and work in our hearts here this morning? According to your will, according to your great pleasure, God, would you come and work here in our hearts this morning? Jesus, give our hearts to you, God. We submit ourselves to you, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. So I would like us to go to Luke 8, verse 16. And last week we kind of, I just want to recap some of that. Yeah, you can put it on. No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand, where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. So, pay attention to how you hear. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. And so Jesus comes and he gives us a clear encouragement and a clear sense of direction of going, be careful, pay attention, take great care of how you listen. Because how you listen will affect whether you do something or don't do something. And then when you even do something, it will affect what you do. It will affect how you do. And so to take great care to how you listen. And so this morning for us, and we heard it last week as well, there's not just the responsibility for me as Rian this morning. No, I have a responsibility this morning to open up the scriptures and to bring it to you in a way that you would be able to understand it, that it makes sense, and that it stays within the bounds and the boundaries that God has placed in Scripture. Amen? But then, you sitting here, including myself, we all have the responsibility here this morning to posture our hearts in the right way. We all have a responsibility to make sure that the condition of what we are hearing, the condition of our hearts, through what this seed is coming and where it's going to fall, that we have made a way for God and that we've opened ourselves up to have this come and find a fruitful place. Amen? But then, on top of that, Jesus has a responsibility. And his responsibility is to his word and to his will. And he is faithful to accomplish his word and to accomplish his will. If the kingdom of God was depending on what men say God is, I think we would have not seen any form of Christianity on the earth. Because for ages, since the beginning, and by the beginning I mean since after Jesus came, we have seen men misunderstand and misrepresent God and his word. And so if all of this was up to men, there would be nothing left. But it's not. See, the word of God is Man, when you start going looking into history and you start looking at how we got the Bible or the word that we have today, and you see all the manuscripts and all the things that has caused it to survive world wars and famines and natural disasters, you go like, it is impossible to think that this one book could have lasted all these years. Like all this that we have, that it could have survived everything. It's one of the most historical books. We're not just speaking like spirit inspired, and we're not speaking of what it means to us today, but we're speaking about history. It's one of the books that's got the most kind of proof that what it is saying is what actually happened. I think this is now not in my notes, I'm now going off my notes, but like, I think the ratio of it is something like 2,400 kind of manuscripts versus like five that is outside of just world history that's been recorded. And you go like 2,500 versus five. I mean, it's a significant difference. So Jesus and the Spirit of God, the Father, is responsible for His Word to go out and to accomplish what He has set out for it to accomplish. He's got responsibility for that. And I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that God's word will accomplish what He has set out for it, regardless of me and you. The thing is this morning, and it's been kind of over the last while, I believe the invitation of God is for us to come and be part of what He's doing. So we have in some form a choice of whether God's will and His ways and His word is going to be accomplished without us and regardless of us, or whether we're going to actually accept the invitation of God, because God's heart is actually that His will and His word is accomplished with us and us with Him. He wants us as part of it. Like, have you thought of that? Have you thought that God wants to accomplish His will and He's going like, hey, you, that you think no one sees you, no one knows about you? No, hey, you, I would like you part of it. I would like you standing right next to me. And I want that. I want to be part of what God is doing. Like, I want that. And so the key is for us to understand that His will and His word, He is faithful to accomplish it. But that His invitation, and His invitation this morning, in this very moment, is come and partake of my will. Come and partake of my ways. And He wants it to benefit us. Because ultimately, we here and those who are lost outside, God came for us to be with Him. Amen? So, let's look at Isaiah 55. It says this. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. It's beautiful. Like, God comes and He promises us. He goes like, hey, careful, come with your ears wide open, ready to listen, ready to receive what I have for you. Like, and I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you. Then He says this. Because why? He wants to include us in His will. He says this. He says, see how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. It's like he doesn't just want to do it. He doesn't just want to accomplish his will. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. And so he's going like, hey, listen, I want to bring you into what I have for you. And in that, I want you to recognize, hey, that David guy, man, he was not, yes, he was a man after God's heart, but he messed up a lot. God had all the reason to go like, hey, yuch, I thought you're going to be a good guy, but man, actually, I want to choose someone else. No, God goes, look at that man. I used him. Look at how I used him. If I could use him, it's basically what he's saying. If I could use him as a leader to nations, what can I not do with you if you listen and you receive me? So God is not just interested in accomplishing his will. He wants us with him. And then he promises this. He says, look at David. Now, you also, he brings the promises to us, will command nations you do not know. And peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. So God invites us into destiny. He invites us into accomplishing his will, accomplishing what he wants to do on the earth. In a place where we deserve nothing, he comes and he promises us great things. And it all starts with, come with your ears wide open. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. So you've got to listen, hear what his voice is saying. And from there, we start doing. And that doing is receiving, first of all. Receiving is not a passive thing. Receiving is active. Would you guys agree with me? So if we listen the wrong way, we will receive the wrong way. Amen? And that's where we spoke last week of actually, we don't lean on our own understanding. We don't listen through our own lens. No, God, we want you and your spirit to come and open up our ears so that we can hear what your spirit is saying. Amen? But now I want to take us here, James 1, verse 18. It says this. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Just keep it there. Like, that's the place that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in that place of where we are his prized possession. This is not just a man that is speaking here. Now, this is God, the creator of all the world, saying, hey, to whoever you are here this morning, I want you to be my prized possession. Okay, Rian, what else is there? Do you understand how big that is? Really, it's quite big. Like, that brings me to tears. It makes me want to go like, God, like, why? Why can you look at me and go, you are my prized possession? Because it's not based on what I can do. It's not based on what I can give. It's not based on what I can understand. Because no matter how good I am, no matter how rich I am, no matter how strong I am, no matter how intelligent I am, not one of those things can cause me to stand in front of Him and be perfect and blameless. Because this is God that we're speaking about. It's not a man. And in that place where in some sense I've got everything to give, but everything that I have to give is never going to be good enough, I find myself in a place finding grace and mercy and promise beyond what I've ever could attain or could ask for or could work for. No, He comes, the living God, the creator of all things we know, comes and says, Rian, you are my prized possession. Man, I would love for us to understand that. That this morning as you're sitting here, however you look at yourself, whatever you see in the mirror, no matter how good, no matter how skewed it is, the way He sees you is completely, completely different. And He's not looking at you or looking at me and going like, oh, again you didn't do that, or again you did that. No, He's looking at us and He's going like, man, I see so much for you. Come. Listen. Come. Allow me to speak to you. Allow me to show you what I want to do in all the world. And man, do you know what? You're going to be part of it. It's almost like I see this picture. Like standing on a mountain. And it's like God the Father is standing next to me. And He's like showing me the vista and all as far as I can see. And He's going like, look at that. You see there, that hill? That's what I want to do. I want to do something there. You see that distance there, that piece of ground there? I want to build something there. And it's like He's sharing His dreams that He has. And at the end of it, it's like I'm standing there and I'm going like, wow, Lord, that is amazing. Yes, I want to see that. I want to be part of that. And He's going like, hey, you are. In fact, you know what? I'm going to use you to build that. I'm going to use you to build that. When we read Isaiah 55 that we just read, just you can keep the scripture here. When we read Isaiah 55, that He says like, hey, look at David. And then, hey, you, I'm going to make you a leader. It's like He's saying, hey, look at the vista. Look at what I want to do. You're part of it. You're part of it. And I want to use you. So now, listen. Listen. Verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. Slow to speak. And slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Maybe just quickly want to stop there. The thing is, when we are not quick to listen, we end up finding ourselves quick to react. It's like we're hearing something, but we're not listening. It's like someone is speaking and we already made up our answer, not really understanding what they're even asking. And what we're then left with is whatever is inside of us. We're not able to then draw from what God is bringing. And so when he's saying like, hey, slow to anger, it's like because that's the thing that ultimately is in the heart of man, is hate and anger. He is love. Love comes from him. Amen? But when he's not working in us, what we have in us ends up being anger. And it might not be, maybe you're one of those that are very toned down and even killed. But just because your face doesn't look angry, doesn't mean that it's not anger in your heart. And for people like me, that is born with this face, that I've got to sit with, like, things to kind of make me smile. Not because I don't want to smile, but just my face looks like this. It's so much easier for me, and I'm expressive. And so, I'm Afrikaans, not that it's an Afrikaans thing, but like, it tends to be. And I'm short. It's like I got all the things counting against me. But no matter how you can mask your anger, unless it's God working in you, there's anger that seeps and flows from your heart because the human nature is sinful. It's only Jesus that can change us to truly love in a way like he loves. Verse 20, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept. Be quick to listen. And then, where is it? Humbly accept, okay? Because when I'm quick to listen, my posture immediately is more closer to actually being humble and being able to receive. Would you agree with me? Humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word, okay? And here we're kind of ramping it up a little bit. Second gear. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Like, this is not my words. This is scripture. And it is actually quite clear for us how we need to position and posture ourselves. And I want to kind of just say something here about the pure religion. In the sight of God the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. Like, that both means that we need to care for the widows and the orphans. Like, they are close to God's heart. But they are close to God's heart because God is close to the brokenhearted. God cares for those who are being oppressed and seen as nothing in the world's eyes. And in that, I want to say to us, we must be careful that we don't look down on the widows and orphans. But actually, if we are truly listening to what Scripture is saying to us, and we really want to obey it, we will find ourselves saying, God, I am those, a widow and an orphan. God, I had no home. God, I had no father. Not because I didn't have an earthly father, but Lord, because I didn't have you. And I'm estranged, and I'm like a person walking around that's got no home. But for when I found you, or you found me actually, like in that moment, Father, I found a place of where I'm no longer a widow or an orphan, but actually I've got a place in you. And from that place, that as we then get to know God, we start to partake of His nature. We start to partake of the things that He loves. That's why it says, don't let the world corrupt you. Because no longer are we now partaking of the world. No. It's we're now partaking of Him. And He is pure. He is peace. He is love. He is care. And that's meant to flow in our veins. Of course, to causes us to think and dream of and consider that in everything that we're doing, that His nature is taking root in our hearts and that we live like He is living. Like He would have lived. Amen? The thing is this, even here this morning, we're not coming to necessarily meet a need. And people often use the scripture of the widows and orphans to say, hey, you need to go there and you need to go meet the need. But that is not what God is referring to here. Now, what God is saying is actually that He needs us to know Him. And that as we know Him and come to know Him and have His being and His will flow in who we are, in the way that we think, in the way that we live, we will make Him known. And we'll bring glory to Him and Him alone. And so this morning, as we are here, we're not here to meet a need that you have potentially for the Word of God to be spoken to you. No, we're here to lift your eyes and your hearts and say, this is who God is according to His Word. And so come to Him, for He is the one who saves lives. He is the one who makes new. He is the one who sets free. He is the one who ordains a plan and a purpose for me and for you. And all of those plans and all of those purposes all point to one thing. And that one thing is that His glory is known in all the earth. That He ultimately is the one who saves. Nothing and no one else. That's why we are here this morning. So when we speak about, hey, be careful how you listen. If you're listening to meet a need in your heart, you might meet that need for a moment, but it's not used for that. No, it's actually He wants you to come and sit and hear so that you can listen for His voice that is saying to you, come and partake of me. When Jesus gave to His disciples the bread, and we're going to, a little bit later this morning, go into communion. When He took the bread and took the wine, it's like they would have seen Him take the bread and have it in His hands and break it and say, actually, this bread is my body that was broken for you. When He took that, His heart was not just that we would remember and have something to remind ourselves in some way that because we will forget. No, He wanted us to, yes, remind us that one day when you come together, do this in remembrance of me. But the thing that He was trying to say to us is that my body is now broken for you. And as my body is broken for you, every time you take of this, every time you remind yourself of my body that was broken, and you partake of this bread, which signifies or symbolizes my body, you don't just remember it, no, but there is a belief in us that we become part of Him. That this is not just His body that was broken for me, but this is His body that is broken for my body. And so my body is now broken for Him. That I am now becoming part of His body. That I am becoming part. That it's His blood that is pumping through my veins. It's no longer that we're separate or apart. No, we are now one. And when we are one with Him, it's His nature and His being is meant to have a work out in our lives. There's meant to be a doing, not just a listening. And that doing is something that is active. So I want to quickly just have I've got a side note here for us. Because it's important to understand that when we talk about doing and listening, there's some things that we can do that is unhelpful to us. Okay? And so side note. If we reject the Word of God, we can actually say that we are rejecting God. Do you agree with me? John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was a light unto men. So when the Word of God comes, and we do not give ourselves to it, and we just listen to it, we're actually not receiving it. We're rejecting it. So, we can reject the Word of God by hearing it and not allowing it to have anything in our, any value in our hearts. So you can hear it and it can sound good. And it can sound true, and it can sound like the voice of God, but if we do not allow it to come and change our hearts and the way we see and the way we do, we're actually rejecting it. Second thing, we can reject the Word of God by hearing it again and not doing anything with what we are hearing. By being picky and choosy. Oh, that thing that he said, I'll go do that. But that thing, no, it's too much. We don't want to think and say that it's rejecting the Word of God. But it's like if my children come to me and I say to them, hey, do this. Okay, yes, Dad. And they go do something completely opposite. They actually didn't receive what I said to them. Amen? And it's important for us to even look at ourselves and go, man, this could be us. So the warning here for us, on a side note, is not just pay attention to what we hear, but also we've got to allow ourselves to hear in the right places. Because what we hear, we can hear all the right things, but if we don't do something about it, we're in trouble. Not in trouble as in God is angry with you, but we put ourselves at a disadvantage. You hear what I'm saying, eh? And why am I saying that? I'm saying it because of this. All of us, including myself, have instant access to information and to a massive amount of word, preaching, and perspective on the word. And you can go, it can take you 2 seconds, depending on your search history, etc. But if I open up YouTube, the first thing that I get is a whole bunch of preachers and worship and commentaries on this and that and this. And we so easily run to those things because, to be honest, that preacher on YouTube has got expensive shoes, expensive clothing, looks a little bit, quite a lot better than Rian, a little bit taller, maybe not as buff, but, I mean, thanks, Jerome. And man, he doesn't speak with the Afri Engels. Or Engels Khans, however you want to say it. No, this guy's got it wax. And I can watch 2 minutes on that YouTube clip. And man, my life in this moment is changed. I feel exuberated. Is that a word? It is, yeah. It's a new word. Okay, you got the feeling of it, eh? Man, I feel encouraged. I feel I can do this, you know. I'm ready for this. And it might be good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it might actually be good. But if I have a responsibility to make sure that what I hear, I do, then I've got to be careful that I don't overload my plate with what I'm hearing, because I'm going to be asked to do it. Because if I don't do it, I do end up rejecting actually the Word of God. The thing is, and I'm not saying don't listen to other preachers, I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying pay attention and be very careful, because what you can't see in that 2 minute very well produced with songs and music and right angles, you can't see the life behind that. It's easy for us to say something that sounds good, but the proof of that thing being lived out and obeyed is not necessarily in the moments that it sounds good. It's in the moments when a preacher or a person is facing great trial, great tribulation, and they're still holding on to those same good words, not having let go of God, that He is good, that He is faithful, that He is loving, even in the midst of great anguish, great devastation, or great trials. And understanding that the man is still experiencing the trials, and you can see he is, but he's holding on to what he said God is. This week, and it's a little bit of where it's coming from, but this week there was a couple, Roy Where's Roy? Roy's, yeah, Roy. I saw you just, can't see you now. Roy, there you are. Roy lost his grandson this week. And his son and their family is in, in Durbanville, in the congregation there. And their three-year-old boy had an accident and he drowned, and he was declared dead on Sunday last week. And I was there at the funeral this week, and I know he's Roy's son, Ed. And in a place of where a family and a church came together and they prayed and they trusted God to bring the boy through, God chose to have the boy with him. What I saw was people's real pain. But not for one moment did I see them wavering in the belief that God is good. That God wants to heal. That God... heart is for all to have life and life in abundance. Now, a two-minute YouTube preach or idea, you can never see it in those things. And so, yes, it sounds good, but I don't actually know the value of it. So what I'm saying here as a side note is that we need to be careful that we don't bombard our ears with so much that when we end up sitting here and we end up spending time together, whether at church, whether just casually in each other's homes or within community, that when the Word of God comes to us, that we are not so overfed by things that when it comes, that we can hear it and we know it's good because we see it lived out, that we actually have no energy to truly live it out. Because what we're doing to ourselves is we're teaching ourselves not to pay attention to the Word of God. And that is real. So, Proverbs 3 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Hearing the Word of God, we need to trust in Him and we need to lean not on our own understanding. His Spirit is at work. But then as we are hearing, we trust in God and trust in His Spirit to come and accomplish and do and enable us, grace us for what He's called us to do. Because it can't just stay at listening. It needs to follow doing. So now, how do we do the Word? How do we do with what we are hearing? First thing, we pray. Why? Because if we don't, we will find our own understanding, our own intelligence, our own idea of, man, I have seen and I have done this. And it will cause us to not actually do. But if we find the position and the posture of humility and humbly accepting and receiving the Word, it's like we're close to the ear of God or close to the mouth of God to speak into our ears His voice and what we need to actually do. Amen? So we pray and not lean on our own understanding. We allow the Spirit to speak to us and to reveal to us. That's the first thing. Okay. Second thing. We ask ourselves of what has been said. Is this part of my life? Or is it not part of my life? And when it is part of my life, to what measure? So we examine ourselves. We allow the Word of God to examine us, the Spirit of God to examine our hearts. But we've got to ask ourselves that question. And in that, what we're doing again is we're finding the place of humility to be able to sit with the Word and go, is this part of my life? And how am I working at it? So if we take something like this morning where Harry spoke on tithing, we go like, hey, is this part of my life? Yes or no? And let's go with no. Okay. Man, Harry had quite a clear scripture there. That actually I need to look at what God is going to do. Bring the tithe to him, because bring, like Harry said, it's not mine, it's his, someone else's. So I need to bring what is his, which means that I've potentially have a whole storehouse of stuff that is not mine, and I've been holding it, and now God is saying, bring it to me, and I will show you. So, but man, I don't know. If I'm going to tithe this month, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. See, just asking the question of am I doing it already opens up to me that, hey, I'm trying to find God's way. Right or wrong, there isn't really a right and wrong. There is what God says and there is what we think. And so when I start asking the question and I see something is not there, then I get to go to my community leaders, or I get to someone that looks like, hey, they're doing it. Let me ask them, what are they thinking? Okay, Altus, are you tithing? Man, tell me why. And then we get to work it out. Because see, not one of us have the ultimate Word of God in us. No, all of us, we need one another. Man, when we come together as church and we want to find him, each and every one of us here, you have an aspect of who God is. There's a piece of God's voice that is in you. And unless you share it, we won't actually hear the fullness of who God is. And so we want to learn and gauge from one another who God is and what he is doing. Amen? And then we work it out. And when we come to that point of going, okay, I know I wasn't tithing. Man, I've looked at scripture. I've asked other people. And actually, I realize I need to do something here. I need to tithe. And I take it back to the Lord. And say, Lord, now help me. Now help me. I'm sorry, Lord. But see, if we just say like, you know what? No. What does that say about us? It actually says that, actually means then at the end of the day, that we're not teachable. We're not humble. Does that carry the nature of God? Hey, church, do you believe that carries the nature of God? I don't. And we're meant to represent him. Third thing, we take the scriptures and we dig into it. So when we have heard God speak and we see that there's something that's lacking, like for instance, say the tithing, using it as an example, we dig into the scripture. We go like, what is God saying? We need to find it for ourselves. See, the Word of God is not necessarily this book that's do's and don'ts and an encyclopedia of how we're meant to live. No, what we see in Scripture is that God, I don't know if you guys did it when you were, I know ladies often do it. They make a list for what they want their husband to be like one day. And then they pray about it and say, God, give me this. If not, do it. Encourage you. Don't hold them to it, to the people, your husband. Hey, I prayed for this. No. But Like, God doesn't take the Bible and go like, hey, if you want to be my child, I look at you like this. No, God has given us who he is and what his nature is and what is enjoyable to him and what pleases him and what is the love that is inside of him towards us, but also how we get to love him. He's given us the blueprint to really be faithful and an enjoyment in his eyes. Have you thought of that? Like, the word is actually like a cheat code for getting into God's good books. It's about relationship. See, when we dig into the word, we want to hear what God is saying. We want to make sure that, hey, what Rian or Harry said this morning about tithing, we want to make sure that when we get into the word, that actually we hear God's voice echoing. And we go like, actually, while they were speaking, it wasn't just Harry. No, actually, it was the voice of God whispering to me, come. Whispering to me, you are safe. Whispering to me, I want to provide for you. Go into the scriptures. And I've said it already, but we speak to others and we ask them. We speak to others and we say, hey, Rihanna's spoken about this thing, or Harry has spoken about this thing. I'm not tithing. What do you think about that? Do you think it's good for me? Or maybe you were speaking about relationship. Hey, the way that I treat other people, do you think it encourages relationship? Or do you think it pushes people away? Because see, if I form part of his body and you form part of his body, then we all want to know that we're finding his way and that we're representing his body well. Amen? And when people come and ask you, hey, is there anything that you see in my life? We need to always remember two things. First of all, we need to encourage. Because even though we walk wrong sometimes, God never just comes with like a whip and smack us so that we can come right. He always comes with love and he always comes with kindness. Scripture says to us, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. So when someone comes and says, hey, would you speak into my life? In that moment, that's the opportunity where you don't need to pray about it. You need to go fast about it. You need to put out the Gideon's fleece or anything. You can just encourage. You can encourage and say, hey, these and these things are good things in you. You might not be asking me about them, but I want to say to you, I've seen the way you loved that person or cared for that one or treated this one. Man, you're doing well. And then, when I speak into their life, I need to speak into their life with love. It's the truth in love. Because the aim is not to fix them. The aim is not to correct them. No, the aim is that they will not, first of all, hurt others. But at the same time, that they will be a better representation of Jesus that is in them. And oftentimes, and we've spoken about this, about blind spot, oftentimes we can't see it. And we need others to help us in this walk. So we've got to listen to the word of God. We've got to receive it. We've got to obey it. But in order to go from listening all the way through to obeying, and even in the obeying, we need other people to help us. Because we are not alone in ourselves, the body of Christ. No, it's in us together where we are. It's as each one does its bit, doing, the whole body grows into health. And then lastly, I'm ending off with this. When we've spoken about and looked at it and have allowed the word to have its way in us, We need to ask those around us, hey, keep me accountable. When next month comes, say to them, like say for instance, your salary gets paid in on the last day of the month. Hey, 2 days before my salary comes in, can you just check on me whether I'm planning to pay my tithe? We help one another. We are meant to be the encouragement of the Lord to one another. Who here doesn't function well on people encouraging you? Hey? Did you hear my question? Who here doesn't function well on people encouraging you? No, Nikki, you are. We will encourage you. Now, the reality is we all do, except Nikki and it looks like James. So now, we need to then, if they're not functioning well on encouragement, we need to make sure that we make them used to us encouraging them. Okay? So the reality, James, the reality is this, we all function well on encouragement. And as much as the Word of God comes and it brings truth, and it calls us to do things God's way, not our own way, it always, always, always encourages us towards Him. It always brings us closer to Him, which is loving, which is caring, which is always good and life-giving. And so, church, for us, we need to go and do the same. And because there is going to be some difficult things that we sometimes have to chat about and sometimes have to sit through. But we need to be careful that we don't easily just become those who listen and not do. Because then we become like those guys that sit on the couch, they've never in their life played even close to A-team rugby or played rugby. But yet, man, they can tell the ref what he's doing wrong, and they can tell the Springbok coach what he's doing wrong, and they tell every player there what they are doing wrong. That's the nature of it. If we listen, we become just criticizing. But if we actually start doing, we realize much grace is needed. Much encouragement is needed. Amen? So, we're going to close our eyes. Got longer than what I should.